So we've been in a series called How to Turn Your Faith Loose for some time now. Go ahead and put up those two scriptures on the screen, Romans 10:10. We'll put Mark 11:23 real quick too. But Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And we've been talking about our confession, what we say, but also right thinking and right believing that leads to a right confession. Go ahead and put Mark 11:23 up real quick. It says, So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." And these are the words of Jesus. He said it, not a man did not write this. I mean, a man inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote this down, but Jesus is the one that said this. Our words are important. What we say is important. And last week, we talked about a wrong confession. You know, we've been mostly focusing on the positive side of confession. We'll get back there. But we talked about a wrong confession and what that means. And just to touch on that again before we go into some other things, a wrong confession is a confession of defeat. It's actually a confession of the supremacy of Satan in our lives. When we're saying a wrong confession is glorifying the devil. Just a right confession glorifies God. A right confession agrees with what God has said. A right confession says what he says. And a right confession will always glorify God. But a wrong confession glorifies the devil. It actually is a confession and a declaration that we're losing, that God has not made his word good in our lives, that he was not able to. A wrong confession says that Satan has defeated me, that I just can't believe, I can't act. Other people may get the word to work, but I can't. It's not working for me. We may not say it in those words, but anytime we talk about how hard it is, or how things aren't working, or how I just don't understand, those are all wrong confessions. Those are all saying the wrong thing. A right confession glorifies God. A wrong confession glorifies the devil. A wrong confession is an unconscious declaration that our Father God is a failure. Now think about it. When we say anything against God's word, when we say how it's not working, what we're saying is God couldn't help me. He couldn't do it. And what else are we saying? Satan was too big. The circumstances were too powerful. Work was too hard. And my family's just too far gone. My health is deteriorated. Anytime we're agreeing, we're actually saying that our Father God is a failure. And these confessions, we know this, they will suck the very life out of you. When we start speaking negative words, it just drains you. It's just like pulling the plug out of the bathtub. Water goes down. And when we start speaking and agreeing with the enemy, agreeing with circumstance that may be contrary to God's word, it will sap our strength in a hurry. Anybody found that out? You could be having a pretty good day and something doesn't quite go the right way, and if you start dwelling on it, it could be a little thing. Anybody ever experienced that? It could be something small, and you focus on it and you don't even intend to dwell on it. You just bring it up and you think you're in a pretty good place, so almost like you can afford to say that, right? Well, I'm having such a good day. I mean, you know, I'm not going to really gripe a little bit, but maybe you kind of poke your spouse a little bit. You're not going to really nag them, but you know, you're getting along so well anyway, you can afford. I mean, that seems silly, but that you could just say something, we won't dwell on it. And pretty soon the more you talk about it, the worse it seems. And what looked like a pretty good day, now you can just feel the joy just running out of you. And if you're not careful, you get in an argument over something stupid. But it will just sap our strength because we're agreeing with something that's wrong. And we should actually be agreeing with God. A wrong confession destroys your faith. It holds you in bondage. The confession of our lips that has grown out of faith in our hearts will absolutely defeat the devil, defeat the enemy in every combat. With our mouth, we're either going to give God dominion over us or Satan dominion over us. Now, whether it's unconscious consent, it's permission of ignorance, or whether we're conscious of what we're doing, Satan will take the advantage. And what we have to understand, it's a legal thing. When we're declaring these things in our life, we're giving God access or we're giving the enemy access, one of the two. And so we need to shut the door on anything negative. When we confess the wrong thing, we give Satan dominion over us, and then naturally we're going to be filled with weakness and fear. And fear will try to come on you and come against you. And we should not give voice to our fears. We may be having symptoms of fear. We may have that be pushing on us, but we need to resist it. Can you put up 2 Timothy 1:7? Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Go ahead and turn to that in your Bibles and just look at it. Lay your eyes on it. You may be very familiar with it. But one thing about the Word of God, it is eternal, it is inexhaustible, and just because we've seen a Scripture before, sometimes they can become dull to us if you don't on purpose keep it fresh in your heart. You can think, I know that, but we're not really looking at it. And in fact, we can be acting contrary to it, and still have it in our mind, but it's not really in our heart because we've let it wane. Go ahead and look at that in your Bible, and let's read it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the first part of that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not. He has not. So just if we feel fear, it's not from God. And just because we feel something, we have to act on what we believe in spite of what we feel. This is another area where we need to do it. This is another area where we have to be careful about what we're saying. Because when we say, when we give voice to a fear, it's just like what we were talking about earlier. You focus on something negative, it gets bigger. You talk about what you're afraid of, it gives Satan access and it will grow. Something that looked small can become very big. It was a little concern, but now it's a major dread. You were concerned, you know, it crossed your mind, you know, you weren't comfortable going to, you know, an appointment or something, and you start talking about how you're uncomfortable and how maybe you're afraid, and it grows because that's the spirit of the devil. When we say it, it starts grow. It actually gives him access. It says, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. These are descriptors of what God's what God has actually given us, what we actually have on the inside of us. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. When you just say power, displaces fear. When you think of power, it doesn't give the picture of somebody cowering in fear, does it? When you talk about somebody being powerful, you don't think of somebody sitting there shaking, right? Automatically, that says just in our minds. Well, when we think of power, it's not something small. It's not something cowering. So just saying that out of our mouth will do something for us. And saying it out of our mouth, no, I have not been given a spirit of fear. I will not fear. God has given me a spirit of power. That right there, that glorifies God, and it allows us to hear the right thing, and it encourages our heart. It edifies us. It builds us up. Love gives us, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Don't ever say, you know, I'm losing my mind, or I just don't know what to do, or I'm frazzled. We are yielding to the wrong thing. No, those are symptoms of fear, but God has not given us a spirit of fear. Go ahead and put up Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not. Fear not. Don't fear, right? We'd say, don't fear. God said, don't fear. For I am with you. I do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. We just read that he has given us a spirit of power. Now we need to say he's given us a spirit of power. Here it says, I will strengthen you. So we need to say, he will strengthen me. No, I'm not. Don't say I'm so afraid. I don't know what I'm going to do. We should instead of that, we resist the fear. How do you do that? You can say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that you can have symptoms of fear all over you and still not yield to it? It's the same thing. You could have symptoms of sickness trying to come on you. If you say, well, I guess I'm getting sick, you just yielded. You just basically opened the door and said, okay. You just declared in your own life that's what's going to happen. But you can have symptoms coming on you and say, no, sickness, I resist you in the name of Jesus. No. Well, fear is the same way. Do you realize you can have the hairs on the back of your neck standing up and your knees knocking together and you can resist fear? You say, well, you're already afraid. No, it's trying to come on you. You can have symptoms of fear. It can be pushing on you. It can be pressing on you. Yet you can say, no, I will not fear. I will not. I will not fear. See, so many times we get tripped up because we feel something and go, well, I guess I'm fearing. And then we say, I'm afraid. That's the worst thing that we can do. Because it's like a spiral. You start talking about something, and if you're talking with somebody else and you're both feeling the same thing, it just gets going. But the way to stop that, one of the ways to resist it, you come against it and say, I resist you, and you say, we say what God said. God is with me. Didn't he say that? He said, fear not. Why? Because I'm with you. God is with me. God is here. Your mind could say, well, you don't know what to do. I may not know what to do, but God's with me, and he does know what to do. Why not say that? Why not say that? God, you know, you and your spouse are talking about something. I don't know what we're going to do. Boy, I don't know. Okay, we established we don't know what to do. Now, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. Just saying that, if you have to say that for 15 minutes or a half hour, that'll do us good. God's with us. Well, I don't know. No, don't say I don't know. God is with us. God is here. He's here now. His presence is here. He indwells us, and He's the Almighty, and He knows all. And He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound. This is resisting. This is pushing back. This is going right in the face of something that's trying to put you down, and you put it back and say, no, I believe God. He said, God said, I will strengthen you. So we say, God is strengthening me. He's here. He is my God. He will strengthen me. He will help me. Didn't it say that? Yes, I will help you. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. Can you see the, it's like he's reaching out. He's like, all right, stop fearing. I'm here. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. He said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you. See, when we say that, though, start saying it. God is upholding me. He's given me wisdom. He's going to help us. 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 Instead of talking about how we don't know and yielding to the fear, we say God is here and He's going to help. That'll put a peace on the situation. Lord, we're just going to spend some time meditating on you. You could just be saying this. I'm saying, you could just, Lord, we're going to just say how you're here and you're going to help us. You know what to do in this situation. You know what to do. And we're your children, and you'll help us to know what to do. You'll show us. You'll help us. See, speaking that, declaring, that changes the atmosphere. You know, you can walk into a place and you can sense the atmosphere. When there is anxiety and fear in a place and people are, you walk in and you tempted to do this too. Well, what are we going to do? And you don't even know what you're, what's the deal? Why are we upset? Wait a minute. Anytime we're in that situation, we should ask ourselves, did God change? Is God upset? Does He know what to do? I mean, is He like, oh yeah, it's time to run around? No, He's not. So what do we need to do? Again, our flesh, our mind may be racing. Our flesh may be even starting to tremble. We need to get a hold of ourselves and say, shut up. We're not going to fear. And you could be shaking. And you may feel like, that's not true. I am afraid. No, it's pushing on you. We need to push back and say, I will not fear. I will resist it. We know this in the natural. If somebody were to come up and push on you. Hey, Joe, why don't you, will you come up here? See, you wouldn't have said that. Nobody would have known. They would have think, oh, he's just slow getting up. But see? That'll teach you. So just because I come against you a little bit, if you go, oh, okay, I'm done, and you just walk away, that's not what we would do in the natural. If somebody came and was actually trying to come against you, your reaction wouldn't be, you know, oh, okay, never mind. If they were trying to take something from you, okay, here, go have it. Somebody tried to, you know, steal something from you, you know, and I'm trying to take it out of his hand, oh, okay, just take it. No, you would know, if I'm trying to pull something out of him, you're going to resist. What are you going to do? You're going to pull. Well, wait a minute. I've already got my hands on it. I'm going to take it. Well, you might as well just give it up, right? If I am pushing on him, what are you going to do to push back? You're going to push back.
Resist, yeah.
You're going to resist. But if you thought, well, he's already pushing on me, I'm done. See, that's all when fear is going like this. It's not time to go, oh, I guess I'm afraid. It's time to push. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's time to push back. We know that in the natural. We wouldn't just lay down and go, oh, well. But sometimes when we're feeling these things, it's easy just to say, I don't know what to do. I mean, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I don't know what to do. And then I don't know what to do. And what if this happens? And what if this happens? And and somebody could even try to quote you a scripture and say this, yeah, but God, yeah, I know God, but what about this thing? And we go, see, it can try to lift us up, and we go right back down with our words. We put ourselves right back. And what are we doing? We're exalting the situation, and we're exalting fear above God. How do you get out of that? You say, yeah, there's this situation, but God is here. He is with us. He will show us what to do. And we say that. The more we say that, the more we're getting out of the situation. That is resisting. That's what it looks like. That's how we... So we can have faith in our heart, but we got to let it loose. We have to say. And when we're thinking the wrong thing, that causes us to get to where we believe the wrong thing and we're saying the wrong thing, but we can reverse it and you can short circuit it. Even if you feel the wrong way, if we'll just start saying the right thing, the process is already reversed because we're thinking on the right thing. We have to. It's very difficult to say something with your mouth and think on something else for an extended period of time. If we'll focus our mind on Him and then it gets in our heart, we are reversing the situation. This doesn't necessarily, we just have to understand that there's a process to growing up spiritually. You know, resisting fear. You could have yielded to that over and over for a long period of time. First thing, something comes up, it comes out of your mouth, I don't know what to do. So we have to break that. And it's a little bit at a time sometimes. And so don't get discouraged if you're doing pretty well and then you go right back to what you used to do. It's the same thing, like we know this. I mean, if you were prone to having a quick temper, well, the more we yield to that over time, and let's say just naturally, you know, your makeup was that you would be prone to having a quick, different personalized temperaments are more prone to things. That's not an excuse, because in Jesus, we all want to come into the center and have the positives of the different personalities and then get rid of the negative. But, you know, we're human. We're not going to be perfect, but different personalities, different makeups have tendencies toward different things. That's not an excuse. God has made us different. And you're always going to have certain strengths and weaknesses. You can build on your strengths. You can get the rough edges off your weaknesses, but you're not going to change into a completely different person. But so let's say somebody was prone to having kind of a more quick temper. The more they yield to that over time, it gets strong to where something happens, they yield to it. Something happens, they get mad. Well, how are you going to reverse that? Little by little, you can walk it back to where you're tempted to get mad. You push back and say no. Well, that might be difficult the first time. It might be difficult the second time. But as we, little by little, as we push back and say no, stay calm, it's going to get easier to stay calm. It's the same thing with fear. If you've yielded to fear over and over, and when something happens, even the littlest thing, it can get to be just the smallest thing. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And it's not even a big deal. But you've yielded to it so long that it's just the littlest thing is just, and that's how people get very, very nervous to where they can't handle anything. It's fear. So we need to learn to resist it, but over time we can grow up and yield to Him. Same thing with doubt. We have to do the same thing with doubt that we do with fear. Doubting God's word, doubting what He said, doubting what He told you. Don't talk about what your doubt. Don't talk about your doubts. It's not saying you don't have any, just like we're not saying you're not tempted to fear. You have something pushing on you. You're tempted to doubt what God said. He said something. You're tempted to say, I don't know if this is ever going to happen. Well, if you say that, we're yielding. Again, Has God's word changed? God's word hasn't changed. But if we say, I just don't know. I mean, look. Why is this taking so long? Where is God? That's what doubt is. God's word says one thing, we contradict it. Say, well, I don't know about that. The more we talk about it, then it becomes gloomy. If God said one thing and we start trying to take sides against Him, that's gloomy. We should not have anything to do with doubt. We are called believers. Right? As born again children of God, we are believers. One thing we could say is I'm a believer, not a doubter. I mean, who heard of a believer that can't believe? The definition of us as a believer is that we trusted God, so we know we can believe. So when we're tempted to doubt, we can say, no, I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say what He said. Doubt is evil. Think about what we're talking about, doubting the Almighty, saying opposite what He said, doubting He will come through for us, doubting that He is on our side, doubting that He loves us when plainly He demonstrated His love. It's evil. And actually, it's just as evil as drugs, having a, cussing fit, just going off. Doubting God is in the same category. As believers, we don't want to have anything to do with it. But we are in a world filled with doubt. We don't understand, I think, and realize how dark the world is, because it's like we're in it all the time. You could get used to a dim room. If you were in it, and we do, right? If you're in a room that isn't lit real well, your eyes get used to it to where you can see. Okay. But then when the sun comes in, it's like you can't see anything and you forgot how bright it was, right? Well, that's what we are walking around in, a very dark world, a doubt-filled world. People don't believe God. When what we see on the news is mostly doubt and unbelief, there's not faith there. There's not people saying, it looks bad, but we have a God in heaven that will turn this around. When was the last time you saw a headline like that? I'm talking about in a secular publication or a secular website. You don't see that. You see negative, negative, negative. Fear, fear, fear. Doubt, doubt. This is going to be the end of it. This is going to mean we're all done. And then it passes. But then the next thing, it's going to be so bad. And this is getting worse. And this rate is getting worse. And this disease. And then this thing's bad for you. And God, where's God? And they don't say that, but that's the implication. There is no help for us. That's doubt. And it's around us all the time. And it's evil. And we have to resist it. And it, let's just be honest, it will come against you, and the feelings will be there to doubt God, to say, where is He? Why hasn't it worked? And when we give voice to that, we are actually giving voice to the enemy. In our life, we are giving him voice to say, yeah, where is he? What's he doing? Why hasn't God's word worked? He doesn't love you. See, even that. He doesn't love you. He hasn't come through for you. Where was he here? That is doubt. What is it doubting? It's doubting that God's a good God. It's doubting that he loves you. It's doubting that he has demonstrated his love for you. It's doubting the reality of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. That's junk. But it'll come to every person. And so what do we do? Just yield to it and say, oh, I just don't know. It's so tempting just to say, what we feel. What do we have to do? Again, we resist it. Do the same thing as with fear. No, doubt, no. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to believe God. God, I thank you that you are always faithful, that you're always good on your to your word. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how much time has passed. Lord, you're faithful. You are leading me. You're guiding me. You're helping me. You're with me. That's resisting. We don't have any business talking doubt because it doesn't belong to us. A lot of people think they are being honest when they confess they are afraid or that they are doubting. Now listen to this. Now we're not talking about lying. We're not talking about, you know, some people say, well, you know, you're just, that's faith talk. Okay, what other kind of talk should we have? So people will not say what the word says. We don't deny circumstances. We don't deny symptoms. But we say in the face of those what God says. That's totally different. Because we have something pressing on us to say, I don't know what we're going to do. How is this going to work out? This could end like that. That's yielding to fear. Saying, here's the situation. Now start saying what God said. That is faith. You don't have to leave off the first part. You don't have to say something contradictory to what is. If you go to the doctor and he pokes you and asks you if it hurts, then say, yes, that hurts. Don't do it again. But you don't say, he pokes you, does that hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. When it does hurt, tell him it hurts. That doesn't negate your faith. That doesn't negate our faith. That's not what we're not talking about lying. We're not talking about saying something that isn't true. What we are saying is, here's the situation, and here's what God says about it, and this is what I'm going to focus on. Once we've got the situation down, now we don't need to keep repeating that. We need to repeat the answer. So some people think they're being honest when they confess that they are afraid or that they are doubting, but if we're saved, we are not full of doubt. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We do not have doubt on the inside of us. We may be tempted to doubt. We may have listened to the enemy. And we may have yielded to it. But we can put him on the run by resisting him, like what we've been discussing. We don't have a heart full of doubt. So we don't need to talk negatively, talking about our doubts and fears, because that's not what we have and what we are. We need to start talking about who we are in Christ Jesus. Some of the scriptures we talked about, you can go look them up. When the Bible says in him, in whom, look for those scriptures. There's a little book called In Him by Brother Hagin. You can get it for $1 something if you want to order one. You can go through, and that'll list scriptures about who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to say. That's what we need to focus on. Not doubt. Not fear. We are believers. We are new creatures. Talk that. Believe that. Think that. And if we are tempted to doubt or fear, then we can resist the devil. Can you put up James 4:7? Isaac, you put it. Do you have it? James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he what? He will flee from you. He will. See, submit to God first. Doesn't say submit to our fears and our doubts and our feelings. And that's what we do a lot of times. We feel something. Here, the first thing is submit to Him. Submit, His word is His will. And so if he has stated something in his word, what does it mean to submit? It means to put under, to rank under. When we feel something, when fear and doubt and pressure of the world is coming on us, to submit to God is to say, God, I believe what you said about me. I believe what you said about my circumstance. And then we resist the devil. This is a way we're resisting, by our words, by what we choose to meditate on. We submit to what he said and resist anything else. And then the Bible says what? He will flee from us. He will flee from you. He will flee from you. He will. He will. Every time. He will flee from us. If we'll resist him. You know what the temptation on is? You know, be honest. It is to wallow in it. It is to yield to it. Even if you've heard this, even if you've seen it to a degree, the enemy will not just go take a vacation and leave you alone. He may go, he'll go away for a while. He left Jesus for a season. But notice he came back. Jesus resisted him with the word of God. When he was out in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him. Satan will try to push you. But he has to leave if we resist him. But it's tempting to wallow in it because we see certain things and we're conditioned to see and to feel. The world walks by what they see and feel. They don't do this. They don't walk by what the Word of God says. And so it's tempting to yield to it, even if you've heard it, even if you know this Scripture and can quote this Scripture. It doesn't say if you can quote it, he'll flee from you. It says to resist him. And when this pressure is coming down on you and fear is trying to push on you, and you're tempted to doubt God's word, that's when we have to say, no, I believe God, I submit to what he said for me, and I resist anything else. Satan, leave. But it's easy to sit and to meditate and to say things that are contrary. Doubt and fear are tormenting twins of the enemy. Refuse to doubt and fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and doubt and fear will leave you. They have to. But you don't wait to feel different. See, if you're feeling a certain way, and this is pushing on you, and there's videos in your mind playing, because you know the devil can give you videos. Did you know that? The thoughts of what's going to happen to your kid rolling out before you. That's not God. What's going to happen at your job? What's going to happen to your bank account? We need to stop that, cut it off, and say, no, he will give you images. And so we need to resist those, cast them out, and say, no, I'm not going to, I will not yield to that. The feelings can be there, so but if we resist, we don't wait for the feelings to change. We believe what the Word of God says and say, no, I resist it. I will not fear. I will not doubt. By saying that and believing God, we're resisting. They will leave, but if we entertain doubt and fear, ooh, we're up against our time. Let me say this. If we entertain doubt and fear, they'll come right back and buddy up to you, and they will rob you and blind you spiritually and defeat you. You know what it means to entertain something? You know, if you entertain somebody, if somebody knocks on your door, which they don't do much anymore, people do not want people knocking. Now, if somebody knocks on your door, it's like, okay, what are you selling? Who are you? Or what are you trying to do? What are you trying to take from me? Because people just, by and large, do not do that anymore. Even when I was growing up, I mean, that was not the case. And before that, You know, it was a lot different, but people don't do that. But if somebody did knock on your door, you could send them on their way, just say no thank you, or you don't have to answer the door. But if you open the door and invite them in and entertain them, that's a different thing, right? Now they're in your house. Well, the enemy will push on you, and if we resist him and push him out, which is what we ought to do, he's got to leave. But if we, like I heard somebody say, it's tempting to just kind of take thoughts and turn them over on your head a few times. Well, I'm not going to just, you know, I'm not going to really think on about it much, but I'm just going to, you know, turn it over in my head. That's entertaining fear. Thinking about what could happen. Well, I'm not really, it'll never happen, but you know, gosh, what if this happened to my spouse? Don't just shut that down. Don't turn it around over in your head. No, that will never happen, and I will not think about that. What's, you know, Satan will try to give you thoughts about what could happen to your children. Well, gosh, that would be so sad. No, cut it off and say no. No, I will not think about that. But entertaining it is thinking, well, what if that did? You know, what if this happened? What if that and that? And doubt and fear will buddy up to you and rob us. But we don't have to let that happen. We can say what the Word says. We can agree with what the Word says. And we can push back.